Fitzy and Whipper.
We love this man. He gives us numbers, probability, and I tell you what, statistics and numbers are all we see
for brekkie
every single day in our lives at the moment. This man knows them better than anyone else. It's the magnificent Adam Spence.
Yes!
Like to think of myself as the human bell curve, guys.
Wow, look at him go. Especially with that beanie on at home, Spence. That looked beautiful.
I'm glad you said curve at the end and not end.
Okay. that's a different thing altogether. Spence, can we start by the guy who joins on the show this morning, and he was also Friday, John Bernard. He's the one that's predicting the numbers. He says he's doing it mathematically. There's a couple of other theories running around about how he gets the figures before Gladys announces it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, just when I thought I was the coolest mathematician on TikTok, along comes this young punk and tries to step it up. Look, I'll tell you, I will note one thing. He explained the other night, I think, on the project, the way he does it was he says, I take the diameter of Fairfield and the perimeter of Southwest Sydney. Yeah. So this is a guy who's spitting out the only words he can remember from year six mathematics. Dude, at least throw in a bit of sine, cos, and tan for the love of God.
Of course.
I noticed also when he had the one where he had the whiteboard over his shoulder, look at the diagram in the middle of the whiteboard, that's actually the problem that Matt Damon solves in Good Will Hunting.
He's good, now, isn't
that's,
he?
That's a problem on homeomorphically irreducible trees of order 10. It's got nothing to do with statistics or epidemiology. He's either got an inside source or it could be a hack in the code. I presume the way they get the number is all the testing centers around Sydney plop them somewhere and they add them up.
Yeah.
If someone's got a little hack access to that, you'd get a pretty accurate number.
Yeah,
I think they're
both
more likely than he's dividing the circumference of Fairfield by the parameter of the parabola of his grandmother's first birthday.
Awesome.
But see, Spence, we get these numbers every day, but can you please point out to us which are the really important ones?
Yeah, it is. It's an absolute tsunami of numbers at the moment, isn't it? For me, that's pornography. For a lot of people, it's a little bit freaking.
Yeah.
You want the total number to come down, but the really important number is the number of people who've been infectious in the community all or part of that time. So the other day in Melbourne, they had 18 new cases, but 17 of them had been pretty much locked away or out for only a day.
Yeah.
The other day, we had 27 people out in the community for the entire
infection period.
And every one of those creates 20 or 30 phone calls that the contact tracers really need to make.
Yep.
If there's only two people like that, that's 30, 40 phone calls, they can do that. If it's 27 people, that's almost 1,000 phone calls they desperately need to land. That's when they talk about the contact tracers getting behind the curve.
Okay. Spence, we're racing to try and get the vaccine, as we all know, as a community and as a country, but we talk about also the UK and their numbers, and they could, you know, they've been doubling daily. It's scary over there, but a lot of the community is vaccinated or had the vaccine. Vaccinated is the word I'm looking for. How does that sit for everybody else? Because I feel like they're sort of a test case in themselves over there.
It's a dangerous situation in the UK. 1,200 concerned scientists wrote a letter recently saying your policy, they're calling today Freedom Day, of just letting it rip and seeing what happens is really dangerous. Note, the health minister of the United Kingdom came down with COVID in the last 24 hours. Now, if that's not a sign that letting it rip might be a bit, the problem is every time one of these particles reproduces itself, replicates, there's a chance there's a small error in the code. That's when your variants come from.
Sure.
The UK have got 50,000 new cases a day. They're saying it could double to 100,000. If all those people just get out in the community and spread it, even if only a quarter of the community hasn't had the vaccine yet, people who've got the vaccine can still get this thing and pass it on. The real fear is if they create some nasty variant that might not even be stoppable by their or any other vaccines. It's a giant petri dish, and it's a little bit of a dangerous experiment, I think.
Yeah, watching closely.
What if we do find a variant that is so much more lethal than the Delta variant that we have now? Could it actually wipe us out, Spence?
Yeah, but people think, what would happen if we found something that was 1,000 times as lethal? To be honest, that sort of thing's possibly not as dangerous. It'd be horrible to get, but it probably burns itself out. Like, take something like Ebola that's incredibly deadly. It's so deadly, you get it and you die. You don't go down to Bunnings and IKEA and a couple of mates' houses and have a cheeky beer you're not meant to when you've got Ebola. Far more dangerous would be a variant that's just a little bit more lethal than this.
Yes.
Or one that you didn't show symptoms for a bit longer.
Yep.
Or you could have a small twist on this. The vaccines we're taking now were designed for the COVID of 18 months ago. So if we get the brother of the cousin of the cousin of the stepsister of original COVID, a slight tweak and the vaccines don't work anymore, we're back to square one. Well, that concerns me more than some super deadly strain.
Spence, well, that would mean that we would live like we do with the flu, where that evolves and there are variants every year and the flu shot is updated and continued to supersede the one prior to. So would we see ourselves possibly getting a yearly COVID jab?
If the number of COVID variants settled down to like the flu does, where it's predictable, it's bad, but it's not too nasty, you can see it coming 6 months in advance from the Northern Hemisphere, it's not inconceivable. Some people do say we might well live, we'll never stamp this thing out entirely. It will just be something that people live with. And on the rare occasion you get really sick, you hope that you can be dealt with and your hospital can handle it. And unfortunately, the older and the more vulnerable will occasionally die from COVID. But it's just too early to say at the moment if this is going to settle down. And I'm not an expert in the field, but from what I understand, settle down into manageable chunks, like even the really bad flus, most of them are comparatively manageable compared to maybe some variant of this that goes off the rails.
Unfortunately, and I know, Spence, you've had your double dose. Unfortunately, over the weekend, we lost another person here in New South Wales in his 90s who passed away. Can you please, just for everyone out there, numbers-wise, just, Spence, how important it is to get vaccinated and your chances of getting it and being hospitalised and then leading to death if you are vaccinated?
Yeah, from my understanding of the 100 cases of the other day, only one person had had a single dose of the vaccine. Everyone else was unvaccinated. The vaccine seems to be very, very effective at the moment. And it's surprising how easy in some places you can get it. I'm on the Central Coast and I looked it up. My local doctor down the street was just giving them out and I went down a few days later. Now, that's not the busiest doctor's surgery in Australia, but take the effort yourself, look online. It's a little bit difficult to negotiate and navigate in some ways, but you might be surprised how easy it is. Look, the most important number in all of this, guys, is the number one, and that's you if you're listening today, okay? You're the person who's in control of how much you get out. Don't get out unless you really have to. If you do use QR codes like a boss, if someone does ring you from New South Wales Health and say you might have come in contact, for the love of God, don't lie. It's like your mum used to say at a party, if someone has too much to drink and fall over, ring me straight away. Just fess up and tell the truth.
Yes.
And the best one I've heard for all of it, boys, is this, and I'll leave you with this. Don't walk around thinking a few people here have this, I've got to avoid them. Walk around assuming you've got it and you don't want to give it to anyone else. Have that level of caution and protection about yourself. And within a few weeks, hopefully, things will have improved massively.
Adam Spencer.
Wow.
Thank you. It's a calming voice, isn't it?
It is. And just quickly, how good was Buddy Franklin yesterday, Spence?
Oh, the only number you need to know, 4 big goals for the Broncos. He closes it on 1,000.
I tell you what.
Oh, it was good to watch. They were running hot. Footy,
the Swan, Spence, we love you, mate. Thank you very much for coming on.
Pleasure, boys.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Bitsy and Whipper.